Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Fort from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
They'll tell you that you can't make. That you began life's test with an F pasted to the top of your exam in bright red ink. They'll show you links through studies and statistics, lifetime sentences, force feeding you with both facts and fiction, aimed at predicting the outcome to your destiny as if they can see into your future and as if God created you to fail.
Man up. Man up. They are shooting at us. They are shooting at us. Hand up. The father, papa, son. They are shooting at us. They are shooting at us. Hand up.
Calling all my brothers, can I get a quick huddle? Time out for a second, need to address some trouble. See so many of us on the stumble. No goals, no direction, so affected by the slow, subtle devaluation of our roles. Nobody to teach us, took the poppers out the home. Left to learn alone what it means to be a man. So it's easy for the media to carry out their bigger plan. Government assistance, school staff. Only if she poo, she single or she lose dad. And the job stat shows she gets the job fast. So he gets supported while she carry all the heavy bags. His rail backwards, so our self-esteem sags. And she never will respect the man who confidence lacks. And I don't mean that he good only for talking smack. But daddy handle business and his word is
what he had.
Dude, loosen up them skinny jeans. Call me bigger brother, trust me, I ain't trying to lean. It's just the troubling trend I'm seeing. Every day it's more okay to emulate femininity. And now it's in the DNA or genes. No, this is learned behavior made okay by those who need to see. A family structure be, if man was made to lead. The more we stray from our nature, we will not succeed. Sons and daughters now lack balance. Compensate with male attention, how she now manage. But see, he was never told how to make her feel special, so he treat her like a hoe. And since she was never shown how a real man should protect her heart to keep her legs closed. See, what she had hoped was being open lands a man's heart. But a broken boy is not equipped to play a man's part.
Man was a father, papa's son. It's time to stand up. See, we've been ducking down too long. I know that they are shooting at us, but how long before we go on the offensive instead of reacting? It's time we bring manhood back. We gotta bring manhood back. Man up.
The best kept secret is, no matter what your situation, you are more than a conqueror, and this is only a test. See, you can be anything that your heart desires, moving forward toward the unwritten chapters of your lives. You can make liars with their pants on fire eat their words, curve past the obstacles in your path, and crash directly into success. Head on collisions into happiness. Learning from the mistakes of fathers who are far from the best example, you can trample their crowd of negativity. See, they want your passion to go up in smoke like a chimney, but your will to succeed can still burn relevant. Cooler than peppermint, your anger can cease. Avoiding the bellies of the beast, you can reach for the stars as far as your eyes can see. You don't need to be anybody's statistic, so don't miss your chance. You can dance to your own tune.
A Dream Deferred by Langston Hughes. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat? Or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode?
I know cloud formation, that raindrops don't fall in a teardrop shape. They originally fall in the shape of a flat oval. I don't remember where I read that. I know recycled water, tear ducts remind me of cleaning bathroom floors with a toothbrush until the bristles flatten and the tips yellow from bleach. I know how to bathe and wash a dish in steaming water, how to break one and glue it together with crazy glue, how to bathe someone else while soap suds squeeze under arms and behind ears. I know how to reach difficult places, how to be broken and put together again. I know my arms are long and my hands remind me of vines. I know laughter sometimes sounds like bubble wrap, and it's my favorite part of unpacking boxes. When I smile, I squint my eyes. I know men with deep diaphragm laughter and ladybugs aren't really ladies. I know they like to follow me into subway cars on days when I need to be reminded of magic. I know spiderwebs sparkle like diamonds after rain showers. I know yesterday is the day before tomorrow, and tomorrow is an illusion where I imagine the mouths of my children nuzzling on breath in a rocking chair while the lavender fields in our yard cement the wind. I know Brooklyn and the man on the J train who walks barefoot through the cars must be cold in February. I know cocaine is a hell of a drug. My father used to have a beautiful smile. I know he misses his teeth. I know it's been 20 years and he still smells like a bottle of Heineken. The smell of alcohol makes me nauseous. I know I drink it anyway. I know bazooka bubblegum doesn't last long and used to come with cartoon strip giveaways. I know Swedish fish used to cost 5 cents in the bodega. I remember candy dots on sheets of paper. I know that Mr. Softy jingle means it's summertime. I know Africa is far. Hip-hop is in Senegal and Paris and Haiti. I've heard Biggie's Juicy play in all three. I know my mother used to rap and they called her Baby E. I know she gave up her dreams when she had children. I know she wishes she didn't, and I wouldn't be a poet if my mother would have had a better sense of humor. I know there are women who kill their children in alleyways and bathtubs and car seats and lakes. I know she lied about where we lived so we could get into good schools. I know good schools saved me. I know teachers help raise you. Gilgamesh, Homer, and Odyssey. I know Antigone only wanted to love someone ferociously. I want to visit Greece someday. I know there are so many words for pain. English is a slave language. It doesn't account for the space between these words, the colors, nor the texture. I know books can make you disappear. Smiles change your face, and whether laughter is forced or organically born, it has the power to release chemicals that relieve stress. I know I love being held tightly. My feet sometimes embarrass me. I wore shoes too small as a child so my mother wouldn't make fun of how big they were. I know I was well into adulthood before I ever heard her say I was beautiful. I learned to use a mirror when I was 6. I know she is still my first definition of beauty. I like my hair down more than when it's pinned up. I know little white girls are prone to getting lice in elementary school. We all suffer. And the basis of all human suffering is deception. I know we all get lonely. I know loneliness creates longing, and longing can be confused for love, and love doesn't exist, not like that. Patience is believing in the wait. I know there are guardians protecting me. I'm certain one of them is Native American. I know santeras clean people of negative energy and light tall glass cylinder candles they buy from Botanicas or Seatown or Trade Fair or Met Foods as an offering to the saints. I know La Caridad. I know if I jumped off a building, I wouldn't fly. I know someone who tried. I know I don't like money. I only want it so I can buy mangoes and cinnamon and rice and water and a place to live and bathe and love and raise growing things. I know starvation anywhere is inexcusable, inhumane, unlawful, and unjustified. It's all about distribution, selfish motherfuckers who privatize goods, spitefully monopolizing off human wants and needs. I know when you're hungry. Your stomach turns stale, and one will do unruly things in order to silence the aching call echoing through one's body. I know echoes make us call out to our own voices. I know voices can be imitated. I know killing someone is the only way some of us believe we can get along. I know a casket is expensive. Funeral homes remind me of my uncles. I know schizophrenia tears apart families. I know you can be more than one person at the same time. Anyone can be driven to insanity. I know insanity sometimes means coping, and is also a safe word for no one understands me. I know we're all afraid of being misunderstood. I know honey is sticky and never goes bad. I know a Holy Ghost when I see one. I know how to speak in tongues. I know it's a language God made so the devil, aka Lucifer, wouldn't understand. I don't understand. I know Lucifer is a smooth zoot suit wearing brother with swag and an ill ear for music. I know he loves jazz and bought Robert Johnson's soul. I'm sure glad he did. I know how to pray over someone who's been betrayed or ill or depressed or hopeless. I know prayer is about speaking things into existence. Vibration is how sound travels. I know sound is the silver lining to how we communicate. I know people say things they don't always mean. I know we don't mean what we say when we say it, but how we say it. I know realtors call haunted or homes possessed by ghosts where someone's died stigmatized property photographs are documents where we can choose to revisit moments in our lives and manipulate their memory. I know front porch swings are reminiscent of old southern plantation homes. I know the mid-Atlantic slave trade fascinates me. I've imagined Gory Island before ever visiting it. Disillusionment is a hell of a drug. I wish I could have treated Harriet Tubman to dinner or a night on the dance floor. No, each world has its own science and its own fiction. Time isn't linear, no space. It's not the distance between two variables, but more like an empty chest, or rather the absence of objects, the lack of furniture in a room, or better yet, the reason people separate into different homes, states, or countries, sometimes into different arms and different beds, into different futures. I know abandonment. There's a boy named Jason in the halfway house who stutters when he reads his poems because his grandmother used to yell at him like a beaten-up pit bull tied to a backyard fence in East New York. I know Jack Smith taught me how to look at garbage differently, how to be strange and flamboyant. I know hands reach for things like doorknobs and buttons and breasts and cocks and slits and wrists. I know blood scabs under the sun. Hospitals smell like spoiling bodies. I know I don't know very much outside of what I know. This is all the unknowing.
That was Asia Monet. What have I learned? You're on the Black Think Tank Radio Network. You with the Revolutionary Journal. Brother Ozzy is in the place to be tonight. I hope you are in the place to be also. What we're going to do, don't have many callers on right now. I see 6003. I see you called in. I appreciate that. Always nice to be supported. The question tonight was, and that was what I've learned. The question tonight was, will things that worked then work now? Will the methods that we use back in the heyday of, I'll say, the militant revolutionary movements, civil rights movements, whatever you want to refer to it as, when will the things that worked then work today? That's the question that's on the table. So think about that question when you want to speak. Definitely bring it on, because we'd like to hear what you have to say. So with that being said, I'd like to go over just a couple of things that have gone on this week, and I'm wondering one that's what made me come up with the question. You know, the things that work that worked back then, would they work today? As far as, you know, dealing with, you know, one another, as far as getting the word out, as far as people being more aware of what's going on in the movement, or just, you know, being conscious in general, and knowing, learning from basic, you know, past mistakes that have been made. Because sometimes I think that we get into a mode of where we repeat the mistakes of the past. And to me, I'm seeing a lot of that lately. And I think that there needs to be a way that we should be able to move forward, whether it be forward in our thinking, forward in the way that we do things, or forward in the way that we, you know, construct our movements and keep our movements safe, you know, because we keep seeing running into the same things that we seem to always run into, things that seem to always disrupt movements. So with that being said, I believe caller 6003, you are unmuted.
Good evening, Brother Ozzy. How are you doing tonight? Oh,
good evening, Sister Stephanie. How are you?
Okay.
Thank you for joining us.
That's a good question, which you say, are the things that we did in the past, are they going to help us in the future? I don't think so, because those things were done based on the need at that time. The needs in 2018 are different. The technology is different. The way messages get out is differently. So we can't be doing 1960 1960 work in 2018. We have to learn from the past the message for to make it relevant for the present. You can't be talking about the Montgomery bus boycott when in 2018, yes, you talk about it to give it a historical content, but you can't expect in 2018 something of that magnitude is going to work. There was
because we're all riding the bus now, right? We're all riding the bus now, and we can sit where we want to on the bus. So I get what you're saying. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead, continue.
But it's not even we all riding the bus. Think about it. Back then, we had no choice but to ride the bus. How many of us had cars? You know what I'm saying? Not everybody had a car. Only a few people had a car. Most people had to depend on public transportation. Now, most of us don't have to depend on public transportation. So the boycott wouldn't make any sense if people are not using it, just like the NFL boycott. It's been ineffective because people don't want to stop watching their comfort. That's how they escape the reality of their life. You can't have somebody do something and then get mad when they don't do it because you didn't offer them a reason why they should do this. I mean,
well,
go ahead.
Go ahead, sis. Go ahead. No, I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say I can kind of let you know why the NFL boycott isn't working, and that really has to do with the players that are involved. And my thing is, if the people see that it's not important enough for them to, you know, stop playing the game when they've been called sons of bitches, when they've been called every name in the book, when, you know, they've been accused of disrespecting a piece of cloth that had nothing to do with their protest. If the people don't see that they're, you know, it's not important enough for them to, you know, boycott, then the people aren't going to boycott. You know, like you said, people want to watch their sports. You know, whether it be, you know, some people are saying that all the games are fixed or whatever, or, you know, they're just not interested in watching sports, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But my thing is that, you know, if it's not important to the players to stand up and make their voice be heard, then a lot of the people are being like, well, why am I going to, you know, give up doing what I'm supposed to be, what I can do, you know, if they're not going to give up, you know, what they can do. If that's what
exactly.
It boils down to.
Exactly. Part of the problem with the NFL boycott had to do with the players not making an initiative, not supporting their fellow player, but he was doing being iffy. If you're iffy, of course the people are going to be iffy too. didn't make any sense because you go to Starbucks. It's not like you need Starbucks in your life. So a lot of people didn't understand boycotting something they didn't even go to anyway. A boycott has to be something that you're taking power away from the power structure that you need, that you're depending on for everyday life, for your existence. Starbucks is not for your existence. Football is not for your existence. Flying Delta is not for your existence. That's why these boycotts are ineffective. So when people talk about, well, the Montgomery boycott, those people were dependent. They had no other choice but to ride that transportation to get to their job, to get home, to do their shopping. That's why that boycott was effective. So you can't say, well, back in the 60s, this happened, but people in 2018, they don't have that commitment. It's not that they don't have that commitment. It's that that particular situation is not relevant to that. And people don't get that. So they want to badmouth the community. They want to hate on the community. Like some guy, he's on Facebook with a video. He done walking around the hood of Brooklyn talking about, oh, these got to be drug dealers' cars because the project is right here. Ain't nobody in the project to have this type of car. The cars are you. And, like, don't people buy used cars for Uber? The nicer the car, the more money you can make for Uber. Nah, he wants to pander to white people and likes on his Facebook, so he's making a situation in the community that's not even a situation. And that's what we have to face. We have to face sabotage from people in our community pandering for whatever agenda that's badmouthing us. He talking about heroin addicts in Brooklyn. That's not a problem that they're talking about in Brooklyn. But he's pandering because he's in a neighborhood that's being gentrified, and I guess those gentrifiers are on his Facebook. So he's making it seem what it isn't. And then you want to talk about a district, talk about their congressman, and don't even get the congressman's name right. So that's the problem. We have all these people sending out mixed messages about what's really relevant today in our community. You got the one set talking about the 60s like it was yesterday. You got the other set cooning for life and cash from white people. And then you got a whole bunch of brothers and sisters in the middle just trying to survive and trying and wishing things would get better, and nobody's addressing their needs. And that's what I have to say.
That's right. That's right, sister. It's a lot of, you know, people out here that's talking, and they're not making sense, you know. And to the point of, you know, boycotts as far as, you know, Starbucks was concerned. My thing was, I was still disappointed in even seeing people still go to these boycotts. No, I mean, still go to Starbucks when, you know, there was a call. And that's a problem to me. It doesn't matter whether you go there or whether you don't go there. If there's a call to boycott something in the black community, we should all be on board. Like with the thing that's going on with Papa John's Pizza right now. You know, I stopped, you know, eating their pizza last year after he made the slip up of blaming the players for, you know, his lack of business, you know. And now this next thing has came out where he came out and he called the players niggers. So I'm like, so why would any black person be buying this man's product at this point in time? You know, I knew it was a matter of time before he slipped up again. You know, so my thing is that, you know, I didn't mind not buying his product. You know, it wasn't a problem for me. It was easy to do. I don't go to Starbucks, so that was easy also. There's other companies that basically had stood up against the NFL players that, you know, I don't use right now, just out of the fact that, hey, you're basically standing up against players that are protesting police brutality. And it's not about the flag. If you think it's about the flag, then you don't get why Kaepernick was kneeling in the first place. And then we can go to the police brutality. You know, we could go to that. How come the black police officers are not standing up saying, hey, this is wrong. We're treating our people wrong. You know, my thing is, if the black police officers don't stand up, or some of these so-called good cops that people keep saying that are out there, if they're not standing up and getting rid of these race soldiers that they have on their squads and these, you know, brutalizers of people that they have on their squads, these dirty cops that they have on their squads, if they're not standing up against them, then of course the people are going to be apprehensive about standing up against people that have all the guns.
Exactly.
But remember, back in the day, you know, the Black Panther Party used to follow the cops around, armed to the teeth, mind you. They had guns on them. They would follow the cops around. Whenever they pulled somebody over, they would stand there and watch and record what was going on to make sure that everything was okay. And if they needed to step in, they would step in. But this was back in you know, the 60s. So would that work now? We don't do that now.
It would work better now based on everybody and their mother and their son and their daughter and their dog have the cell phone. But they'd rather film people fighting than to film, well, some people, I'm not going to say all, some people are out there doing cop stops. They are filming, they are going around filming the cops. But it's funny, a lot of
Right, but the difference is, sister, the difference is that they're not armed. They're only armed with a video camera. They're not armed with a weapon that they can take matters into their own hands if need be. See, these pigs claim that they're in fear of their lives. They're not in fear of their lives. And my thing is, we need to make them in fear of our lives, saying that if you hurt one of us citizens, you're going to get hurt. They need
now
to,
you know,
be in fear of their lives, knowing that if they hurt one of these citizens unjustly, that they won't make it home that night. That would send a message.
Now, you know, I was telling you on the sideline that I was speaking to a black cop in an urban city. And I asked him several questions. And, you know, if he wasn't playing internal affairs, public relations, he did answer some questions. His take is that from as far as you saying about the racist cops, they don't like, he doesn't like racist cops either. But see, the way they have to go about reporting racist cops, they have to substantiate the racism. And a lot of times, the racism that the white cops get to the black cops is so subtle that they can't prove that it was racism. But he does applaud when they get fired. But I'm saying, you applaud when they get fired, but in the meantime, when they shoot an innocent victim, how does that make you feel? And he's like, well, he came with that blue cop, Blue Lives Matter cops, we stick together, and we, eternal review boards, will ultimately find out who, if it's warranted, and the cop will lose his job. That person can't get their life back while that cop might be able to keep their job. And that's the disconnect with police officers so much, is that they feel something, but they don't want to give up that paycheck to say something. You know? Okay. In addition, you have cops scared to talk. You have people scared to confront. You have a whole lot of variables at play regarding communication. It's a lack of communication really coming to play. And that's why people always refer to the past, because they're stuck as to what to do in the present to move on to the future. And that's problematic. Are you guys with us, brother? Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm back with you.
I heard you had a little technical difficulty.
Yeah, it's always something. It's always something. But yeah, I'm back with you, sis. I'm gonna take a quick little break, okay? And we will be back. I appreciate you holding it down for me while I have my little technical difficulties.
Okay.
We'll be right back. We're gonna hear the Huey P. Newton interview.
The long-awaited decision in the Huey Newton murder trial, which has drawn worldwide attention, is now very near. The jury of seven women and five men are deliberating the fate of the Black Panther leader on the eighth floor of that building. It is their job to decide whether he is guilty of killing Oakland policeman John Fry and wounding Officer Herbert Haynes in a pre-dawn shootout last October 28th. Two floors above the jury in his cell, Huey Newton, who has made almost no show of emotion during the 8 weeks of trial, calmly awaits the decision of the jury. I talked to Newton in the jail.
As far as the proceedings thus far, that the courts have only reflected the racist attitude of the general power structure, that I haven't received a fair trial, that I should not have been indicted in the first place. I was indicted by a blue ribbon grand jury, a middle class white grand jury that did not represent a cross section of the community. And
you say you don't feel you've had a fair trial?
No.
Why?
Number one, that the judge has been very racist throughout the proceeding, very pro-prosecution, that I don't feel that I should have been tried at all. And if I had been tried, if there was an inkling of reason to try me, I should not have been tried for first-degree murder. That if the judge had not been a racist, that he would have amended the charges to a manslaughter, perhaps. The very fact that he didn't dismiss the whole charge reflects his racism.
Some of your supporters have said that the trial, that you are a political prisoner,
that are oppressing people of color all over the world, and on a local level, the police, fascist police, are suppressing, repressing the white revolutionaries as well as the blacks who speak of and who are attempting to attain liberation. So I am not standing for violence, but I do stand for self-defense.
Back to the trial for one moment.
Could you just keep on talking?
What about your future if you're on the street next week?
I will continue to organize the black community in a political fashion. I will help in the campaign of Eldridge Cleaver for president, my own campaign for 7th Congressional District. And I think this will be a a large job because it's going to be done from a grassroots level, from door to door in the community. It will we'll consider the people on 7th Street who stand on the corners, who have lost all faith in this society. And matter of fact, all other, we will attempt to rehabilitate them, to show them that there is possibly some gains in political action. And if it's sincere, and if the black people have exclusive control of it within their community. So in the in my campaign.
You say, you got enough, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I like that clip. I find it amazing that a lot of the things that the brother was talking about, Brother Huey P. Newton, a lot of the things that he was talking about are still relevant today. And we're still going through those things today. So, you know, that's why I asked the question. And I sometimes I wonder, you know, what would it be like if, you know, Brother Malcolm was still alive, or if, you know, Brother Huey was still alive, how they would approach society today.
They were still alive, we wouldn't be where we at now. I think that it was very effective to kill our leaders back in the 60s, because we had the 70s and the 80s where we had no clear spokesperson, where they were able to institute a lot of the tactics that they have used to keep us divided right now in 2018. You know, the 80s brought about was their little, the 80s and the 90s is basically when they had you convinced that as your income, your job, was your way out and your way to upward mobility and acceptance. But then they had to get rid of the jobs and stuff, so they used drugs. Like, they had to introduce drugs. They had to introduce gangster rap in the communities to keep you from developing, from growing, from leveling up. So first they killed off the people that were helping you level war, and then they introduced things to distract you from leveling up. And I think that's how it works.
Well,
can we say
that they bought off the movement?
Yes.
That they bought first, I'm gonna say first, they bought off the movement. Then
yes.
Then came the basically the splitting up of the black family. Then came the neighborhoods with drugs to destroy the black family unit even more. And then came the status. You know, the you know, feeling like everything was all right, and you know, well, if I move out to the suburbs, you know, like you said, the upward mobility thing. So to me, they kind of bought off the movement, and there's very far and few in between brothers that cannot, and sisters that cannot be bought off. That will not stay true to the integrity of the people. Very few. There's very few. And if they're out there, most of the people are railing against them because they're like, nah, I'm comfortable over here, man. Leave my stuff alone. I'm good over here. You know, I don't give a damn about what's going on over there. And that's the basic attitude. That people have is, hey, I got mine, you get yours the best way you can.
Sadly, you're right, because look at Jaden Dash having to confront that guy at the Diana Ross show. That guy would never have been who he was, who he is. Lee Daniels would have never have done what Lee Daniels has or did if it wasn't for Jaden Dash loaning him $2 million.
Right. Right.
Let's put
and...
That's how Lee Daniels got put on, based on Pariah, Jaden Dash. Everybody want to talk shit about Jaden, but Jaden in the background did a whole lot of things for people, and nobody is giving this man credit.
That's like, how it is. I mean, my thing is that, you know, even Jay-Z owes Jaden Dash, you know, and he has yet to pay him back. And that's one thing that, you know, our people, we shouldn't have to do that. If I loan you, you know, money, I shouldn't have to come to you holding my hand out to get it back. You know, it should be right off the break. And from what Jaden Dash said, that, you know, Lee Daniels wanted him to work his money off. You know, basically he wanted him to come to work, and that's how he was going to get paid back. But I'm like, nah, it don't work that way. If I loan you $6 million, give me my $6 million back, all the money that you done made. Don't pay the white man and don't pay me. And that's what was going on. Lee Daniels is paying the white people in his circle that have benefited him, and not paying the brother that put him on. And to me, that's totally wrong.
No, you did not just tell me that Lee Daniels told dude to come work for him to get his money back.
Yeah. He wanted to put him in some of his movies. He wanted to put him in some of his movies. And Jaden Dash said, no, I'm not working my money off. You pay me back.
That's like me giving you $20 and telling you, yo, you could get your $20 back, but wash my car.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Yeah. I understand fully. And Jaden Dash, he understood it. And that's why he said he was good.
They made good.
So I'm glad that you know, Lee Daniels finally came out and said he was going to give him his money back. But my thing is that he shouldn't have to, you know, been put on the spot publicly to even do that. He should have went on and just did it, because we all know he got the money.
Okay, but you see, you just said something. He came out publicly and said he was going to pay homeboy. You ain't hear Damon say he got paid yet.
No, Damon hasn't said that he's gotten paid yet. But my thing is that he just wanted it to be known that, you know, Lee Daniels owed him money and he wasn't paying him back. So he did what he needed to do.
He came out and said he's going to pay it back. That's like me calling the electric company and telling you, yeah, electric company, I'm going to pay you on Monday. Don't turn off my lights, knowing damn well you ain't going to pay them on Monday. That's what you just said.
But he didn't give him a time period when he said, he just said he would pay him back. My thing is, I hope the check don't bounce.
Yeah, you know.
But I mean, these are the shady things that we do to each other that we wouldn't dare try with, you know, somebody from the race. We wouldn't dare try it. And my thing is, we gotta treat each other respectfully. You know, people are mad because, you know, Diddy came out and said what he said about the Black Panther movie. You know, saying that he hoped it wasn't he said he thought it was a cruel jest because, you know, people are out here, you know, trying to, you know, struggle and make it, and they're not being put on by Hollywood. But, you know, they put all this money into Black Panther and it's made billions of dollars for them. And it's still, you know, none of that money really went back to Black people. basically. That's what he was saying. You know, and people didn't get what he was saying. They was telling him to sit down and shut up and all that. But my thing is, I don't care what you think about Diddy. You know, even a broken clock is right two times a day. I was like, he has a point. And, you know, I got in arguments on Facebook about that all day. I'm like, y'all don't get it. I'm like, the man is a millionaire himself. And he's been there to the point where he had to beg people for money. So he basically knows what he's talking about. You know, yes, he has money.
Hello?
So I'm driving down the street with my four-year-old nephew. He knocking back a juice box, me a Snapple. Today, y'all, we are doing manly shit. I love watching the way his mind works. He asks a million questions. Uncle, why is the sky blue? Uncle, how do cars go? Uncle, why don't dogs talk? Uncle, uncle, uncle. He asks uncle, uncle, uncle. He asks uncle, 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 as if his voice box is a warped record. I try my best to answer every question I do. I say it's because the way the sun lights up the outer space. It's because engines make the wheels go. It's because their minds aren't quite like ours.
Hello,
I say yes, no, no, yes, no, yes, no. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we laugh. He smiles, looks out the window, spots a cop car, drops his seat.
Yeah,
and
I'm
says,
here.
Oh, man, Uncle, 5-0, we got to hide. I'll be honest. I'm not happy with the way we raise our black boys. Don't like the fact that he learned to hide from the cops well before he knew how to read. Angrier that his survival depends more on his ability to deal with authorities than it does his own literacy. Get up, I yell at him. In this car, in this family, we are not afraid of the law. I wonder if he can hear the uncertainty in my voice. Is today the day he learns that uncle is willing to lie to him? That I'm more human than I am hero. We both know the truth is far more complex than do not hide. Both know too many black boys who disappeared, names lost, know too many Trayvon Martins, Oscar Grants, and Abner Louimas, know too many Sean Bells and Amadou Diallos, know too well that we are the hard-boiled sons of Emmett Till. Still, we both know it's not about whether or not the shooter is racist. It's about how poor black boys are treated as problems well before we're treated as people. Black boys in this country cannot afford to play cops and robbers if we're always considered the latter. Don't have the luxuries of playing war if we're already in one. Where I'm from, seeing cop cars drive down the street feels a lot like low-flying planes in New York City. Where I'm from, routine traffic stops are more like minefields. Any wrong move could very well mean your life. And how do I look my nephew in his apple face and tell him to be strong when we both know black boys who are murdered every day simply for standing up for themselves? I take him by the hand. I say be strong. I tell him, I say be smart. Be kind and polite. Know your laws. Be aware of how quickly your hand moves to pocket for wallet or ID. Be more aware of how quickly an officer's hand moves to holster for gun. Be black. Be a boy. Have fun, because this world will force you to become a man far more quickly than you'll ever have to need to. He lets go of my hand, but uncle, he asks, uncle, what happens if the cop is really mean? And it scares me to know that he, like so many other blacks, getting ready for a war I can't prepare him for.
That was Javon Johnson.
Hello, I'm back. Hello, sis, you there?
Okay, yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties.
As you were
now,
saying.
As we were saying, you can proceed. We shall proceed.
You were talking. You got cut off at the point when you were talking about sex. Oh. Moving forward. Going back to your question, you were saying that you asked if Huey Newton, if they were alive today, would things be different? I'm saying if they were alive today, we wouldn't be here. And that's where we left off.
Right. You're saying we wouldn't be in the position that we're in today. And I want to believe that, but by the same token, you know, we have to remember that when these brothers were alive, it was so many people that were against them and against what they were doing, and it was what they stood for. Very few people stood up to fight them, you know. Quiet as kept. I mean, people romanticize that, you know, they were there and they was down and they was this and they was that. But if it was really like that, brothers wouldn't have been able to have been touched. You couldn't have touched them if everybody had their back, like people claim that they do today. You know, that's the real, you know, sad part that, you know, we see even today. You know, when people stand up to, you know, go against this system, stuff out there in the line.
This is true. But you gotta also look at another quiet kept secret from back then that a lot of people don't talk about today. The Black Panther Party was the most infiltrated by COINTELPRO than any organization that existed back then. And we just saw that recently, how that worked when with Black Lives Matter, because they used the same playbook for Black Lives Matter to disevaluate the movement, just like they used the same tactics back then to disvalue the Black Panthers and their leaders. If you look at it,
right, and we sit back and we watch.
We just saw that whole thing in the last 2 years of how they took an innocent movement and devalued it and made it not what it really is. And they propagandized it so bad that to this day you have people saying the same crap. And you have to look. A lot of the players from in the beginning ended up to be outed as infiltrators and agents, just like what happened at the end of the Black Panther Party. You had brothers betraying brothers because brothers didn't know that their brother happened to be an FBI agent. And, you know, that's what happened with Fred Hampton.
Right.
And that's what happened with the Black Panther Party. I believe those ladies were very genuine when they started Black Lives Matter. And it scared people that, oh, my God, Black people are so upset with their lives that they might unite. They said everything but the kitchen sink towards that. And, you know, it's like, when people were like saying, oh, well, we think the Emmett Till case should be reopened. We think the Emmett Till case should be reopened. Today, guess what? The DOJ is reopening the Emmett Till case. Ain't that some shit? Because somebody decided to do a doctorate on the case. That wasn't no new information that was put out there in that book last year. They knew all of that information. All of a sudden now, after all these years, they're going to reopen the case.
Right, but will it make a difference?
Nah. Remember they exonerated.
I mean, I'm saying, is somebody going to get killed for killing Emmett Till? I mean, because no one was ever convicted, if I'm not mistaken. No one was ever convicted. The lady just came out and admitted that she lied about the whole situation that got him killed.
She should be convicted. She should be convicted as an accessory after the fact because she basically got that boy murdered. Isn't there a crime for that? I know if it was a black woman, it would be a crime for her. So I don't know. I think there's a crime. But no, it's not gonna bring that boy back. And if any of those people,
I mean, is his family gonna be compensated in any type of way? You know, that's what I'm like. Is the real point of them going back and doing this? Is this a distraction of some to us to keep our eyes on the prize? You know, that's what I'm wondering. You know, I always look at these things in a suspicious fashion, and I'm with you. You know, if you couldn't do it now, why couldn't you do it then?
Well, did the family never sued? Have they not been compensated? I don't even know.
I believe they have. They lost a family member. And from what I'm hearing, you know, about the story, when they found Emmett Till's body, there was a black body floating in that river. He wasn't the only one. He's just the one that we know. So my thing is, you know, did you have some white serial killers running around killing black people back then?
Was the Klan just
killing black people when they felt like it? You know,
yes.
How come none of these people have been prosecuted if that's the case?
You know why
these
they haven't
unsolved murders. These are unsolved murders. Plus the 3,000, you know, or so, maybe 4,000 that we know of lynchings that took place in the South back then. You know, they have many of murders. So my thing is that if you're going to go after this one, then go after all of them.
They're only going after this one is because somebody wrote a book about it last year. That's how it got reopened. It didn't get reopened because black people have been asking them for years to reopen it. It got reopened
mm-hmm.
because somebody wrote a book about it last year. And I guess from reopening it means that they get to write a second book. So,
yeah,
you know,
talking about cold cases. You know, my thing is, you know, while you're at it, you know, let's figure out where all these women are going that's disappearing. You know, let's figure that out. Let's figure out where 70,000 black women are at. Where have they disappeared to? Figure that out, FBI.
It's interesting that Sessions is actually reopening this case, seeing how when he took over DOJ, he closed the Civil Rights Division. Let's bring that up. How's he reopening this case and he closed the Civil Rights Division? It's not about justice. It's about somebody getting paid. Because if it was about justice, then he would open up the Civil Rights Division again and open up all those cases that you mentioned. So, no, it's about giving us another bone. It's all about giving us a bone. That's all this administration has been doing, is giving us little breadcrumbs and acting like we should be happy for it.
Well, you just hit it on the head. It's just another bone. And unfortunately, there's going to be some coons out there coming to November elections that be like, oh, well, the Trumper, he opened the Emmett Till case. I'm going to vote for him. Shut up, man. Are you serious?
The coons have a whole movement about it. You haven't heard? It's called Walk Away. The coons have started a movement. It's called the Walk Away Movement, where all the black people are supposed to be following them to the Republican Party, because we're just tired of, like, all black people are Democrats. Like, all black people are liberals. We all supposed to be running in droves and signing up to be Republicans, because we don't see the Democrats in the era of our ways, because all black people are Democrats. Because all black people are Democrats. And
go ahead, sis.
And homegirl, they token, done put out there, she done challenged Jemele Hill. She wants Jemele Hill to come on TV and debate her. Like, Jemele Hill needs the money and she ain't got a job. Now she got to pick her little backyard battles and put it on YouTube so she can make money. She want her to come on YouTube because she feels that she needs to be saved and that Trump is her savior. Man, listen. Motherfuckers are going cuckoo plus for a motherfucking buck. A dollar. This is for a dollar in a dream.
Well, what doesn't understand is that if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, if you still believe in the two-party system of this country, you're a fool. The country's being ran as an oligarchy, basically, where basically the one percenters are running the country. Your vote, as far as a national election and who's the leader of this country, your vote doesn't count.
Exactly.
It's that simple. Your vote doesn't count. Now, in your local elections, it counts for something. But as far as who's going to be leading the operation of the United States, it doesn't matter, because they pick to be the CEO of the corporation. And some people don't get that yet. If you're still being fooled by these labels that they put out there, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, if you're still being fooled by those labels, then you're a bigger fool than I thought you were. My thing is, you know, okay, if you're going to go out here and seek change, you know, for your interests.
People, you know, want to gangbang. They're desperate to gangbang. They need a label to justify their life. Like, seriously? Absolutely.
Right.
They don't even get a vote in a national election. It's a percentage of the people who voted that a president was selected, not elected. I mean, people don't get that. They gangbanging for the Democrats and the Republicans, and then they get mad at people who gangbang. I don't get it. What's the difference between you gangbanging for a political party and somebody gangbanging for their hood? What's the difference?
Well, There is no difference. That's how they keep us. That's how they keep us divided. You know, I mean, it gets deep. You know, the more you think about it, it gets deep, and people don't. It doesn't seem to register with people that, you know, we're being distracted and pulled apart and pushed in a certain direction every day. And it won't be televised. You know, it'll happen behind the scenes. And with that being said, I'm going to take another quick break. And we'll be back. This will be a short break. This is the Black Think Tank Radio Network. Call us at 646-564-9948. Press 1 to join the conversation, join the chat room, or listen via the show link. We appreciate your thoughts and participation. Each one teach one. Each one respect one. Peace and enjoy the program.
Do your work, do your duty. Yaga, 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 yeah. Yaga, 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 yaga. Pass me soda and me daga. Who want the dance hall to stop? Police. Who now have to see herbs a shop? Police. Who kill the youth from the block? Police. Them now have to hear truth. Muslims pop. Who want to see herbs a drive? Yes, man, for bribe. Police, them now have to see ghetto survive. Police, as we see them, ghetto youth have to die. Hey, yo, who has the legal long gun? Who has murdered the youth, them a jammed down? Who has been innocent, you drop down? A steel farmer who burned the earth down. Family, a little youth, me know. Every man a bigger reaper than saw.
Fire. Me call the youth them from jungle and rima back. The youth them from war. revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be fought supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall off the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, afros are going to be trying to straighten their heads, and straightened heads are going to be trying to wear afros when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes.
But until then, you know, and I know, niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party. Some might even die before the revolution comes.
A ballad behind bars, or you could say real rock from the rock, an unusual musical happening in a most unusual place. The state prison at...
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn, I said never. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me and myself, because they never did. I wasn't with it, but just that very minute it occurred to me the suckers had authority. Cold sweating as I dwell in my cell. How long has it been they got me sitting in a state pen? I gotta get out, but that thought was thought before. I contemplated a plan on the cell floor. I'm not a fugitive on the run, but a brother like me's begun to be another one. Public enemy serving time, they drew the line, y'all. They criticized me for some crime. Nevertheless, they could not understand that I'm a black man, and I can never be a veteran. On the strength of situations unreal, I got a raw deal, so I'm looking for the steal. I'm going for that steal.
Word up, see, they trying to put black out of game by keeping your name, you know what I'm saying? But they can't keep a black man down.
Now they got me in the cell.
Hey, yo, Chuck, we got the...
Now they got me in the cell.
I grabbed his gun and he did what I said so. And every man's a man got served, along with the time they served, decency was deserved. To understand my demands, I gave a warning. I wanted the governor, y'all, and plus the warden to know that I was innocent. Because I'm militant, posing a threat, you better government.
Yeah.
My plan said I had to get out and break north. Just like Oliver's neck, I had to get off. My boys had the feds in check. They couldn't try nothing. We had a force to instigate a prison riot. This is what it takes for peace. So I just took the peace. Black for black. It's high time to cut the leash. Freedom to get out to the ghetto. No sellouts. 60 O's we got. We ought to put their head out.
Yeah.
But I'll give them a chance, cause I'm civilized. As for the rest of the world, they can't realize a cell is hell. I'm a rebel, so I rebel. Between bars got me thinking.
acting like an animal. Got a woman CO to call me a copter. She tried to get away, and I popped her twice, right? No one to get nice. I had 60 O's, and now it's 5 to go, and I'm serious. Call me delirious, but I'm still a captive. I got a rap, it's time to break as time grows intense. I got my steel in my right hand, now I'm looking for the fence.
Hey, yo, Chuck, I got the dope plan in effect. G word to the strap, man.
I'm looking for that spin.
Word, I got the 98 YZ, Professor Griffin, the S1s. Yo, Chuck, we coming, man.
As I ventured into the courtyard, followed by 52 brothers, Bruce Banner, that's guard but hard. Going out with a bang, ready to bang out. The power from the sky, from the tower, shots rang out. A high number in dose, yes, and something close, I figure I trigger my steel stand and hold my post. This is what I mean, an anti-nigga machine. If I come out alive, then they won't come clean. Then I threw up, my steel bullets flew up. And to my surprise, the wall and tower blew up. Who shot what, who, what, the bazooka was who? And to my rescue, it was a S1W. Secure my getaway, so I just got away. The joint broke from the black smoke. Then they thought it was rougher than the average bluffer, cause the steel was black. The attitude exact. Now the chase is on, telling you to come on. 53 brothers on the run, and we are gone.
Free your mind, and remember. Winners are not people who never fail, but people who never quit.
All I ever wanted was to sell. Records to the people make a lot of mail. Yes, sir. Right to me, it was the holy grail. I'm gonna go and do it, I'm gonna never fail.
Yeah, but first I gotta make it out of hell.
Wake up and I see crime. All of us, we on it's eat time. My homies love me yelling peace nine. At the same time, throwing peace signs. Throwing them back and repping the street. I'm doing music and I'm writing beast rhymes. But my V-slimes had no weak minds. Got with the music, started a group and we shine. Music gave us hella hope. Made it up out of the banging and selling dope. We were stronger than a bottle of yolk. So one of our members found a kid to grope. Then Yana gave the petty the rope. Losing a man, the band began to slope. Never did think our plan was damn to croak. So doing it solo, dolo, stands to go. Started making hella LPs. 2000 auto with a 5 felt free. Because of the hand the label dealt me. But an 06 Fontana helped us smell cheese. Number one independent. Gonna be spending a ton of funds in a minute. That's when the government won the sums, then I sent it. In a couple of months I'm done and replenished.
Everywhere I go, I'm selling out the show. Around the world, I kill them and everybody know. Whenever we hit the studio and second Nina drop, hot. Even though I will go toe-to-toe, somebody bang on me, but I'm rolling in the dough. And I'm really respected and protected. Chances of me getting shot, not.
Everyone loving the tech, publishing, I get a check. Loving the cities are with me, the people that call me the best. I don't have any regret, but it's a bit of neglect. Missing my babies, I love them and none of them leaving me yet. Feeling good like a villain should. In a mansion, but I'm still in hoods. Not like Trayvon, Jason. Khaki shorts and a red tee like I will and could. I can conceal it, my permits say. If evil happens to swerve this way, hope nobody deserves quick spray. I feel an angelic surge this day. They feeling my songs, been doing it long. They want me to sell my city right out of my home. Cause I'm in the zone, I'm putting them on. In front of the store and a couple of police won't leave me alone. Why they tripping? I fit the description. It's two of them rushing me, I'm on a solo mission. To get people to listen, but they pushing and kicking me. I'm on the ground when they telling me because of a gun suspicion. It was in my pocket, ain't trying to pop it. When they scared of a brother with a gun, no one can stop it. Then one of them lost it, and then it was shot quick. Officer took me to heaven, I'm dead and with multiple rockets. Didn't matter, I was good and living inside a mansion next to ball players. Cause of the movie made was drastic, now I lay in a casket carried by my pallbearers. Fear is what I see, making them kill a G. Rotten apple in the batch, don't tell the rest to flee. This happened in Baton, R-O-U-G-E. Even I fit the description, what if it was me?
What if it was me? What if I never got the one chance to be? Everything and everywhere I go, I wouldn't see. If by your hand, you took that from me. But what if it was me? Laying right there, I'll never get up again, it's so unfair.
Should I just
take your life?
Should I just
make your wife a widow and wither? hugging the pillow.
The sense of you still on her,
spirit she feels on her.
The whole world weeps, blood we all spill on her.
My break. Not sure how long, how much more we will go on, but definitely, I think that this is a conversation that we'll have to revisit. Most definitely, we'll have to revisit this conversation because we have to keep asking these questions. You know, what's working, what's not working. And the people that we, you know, tend to maybe surround ourselves with at any certain point in time, you know, we have to question that also. You know, are you motivated to do this? You know, are you not motivated to do this? You know, can you push it to the nines, as we used to say when we was out here in these streets. Racing our bikes around these streets, you know, you pushing it to the nines, then that means you was willing to go all the way with it. So that's what this, you know, movement has to be about. You know, can you push it to the nth degree? You know, are you willing to go where we need to go to get to the next level? And if people aren't willing to do that, then, you know, it's just going to basically keep us in the valley instead of climbing the mountain to get to the mountaintop. So with that being said, we're going to go with some closing comments. I see my sister is back with me. Sis, did you have anything you wanted to close out the program with?
Maybe we should pick this up on Saturday, seeing that I don't have the topic. I think it's a good topic, and I think we really need to keep on outing it. I mean, there's people who say, oh, we should handle our issues within the community. If you're handling your issues within the community and nobody knows you're handling the issue, then how is the issue handled?
Right.
If you really want to open a dialogue and put differences aside, you would be having these conversations openly and transparently where people don't feel like some sort of way to come and have a conversation with you. If you have to do it behind closed doors, then, you know, I don't understand. If you have something to say about a situation, like with the video earlier with the guy filming his neighborhood talking about mysterious drug dealers that didn't exist, if you're so bent on drug dealers in your community, instead of videotaping cars, why are you not videotaping the drug dealers and asking the drug dealers why are they selling drugs in your community? You want to make a video about your community and the problems in your community. You can't point out problems without bringing solutions with them. You can't keep on pointing and pointing and not having a solution to back it up, because then what's the point? You just shame it.
Right.
So I think we really do need to continue this conversation on Saturday, because, to be honest, if we're supposed to be a network, we're building a network. for the community. We need to let it be known the type of things that are detrimental for the community to grow, basically.
Right, right. You're correct. This is the people's platform, and I do put the number out there for people to call in if they have, you know, questions or concerns, or they have solutions they want to, you know, present to the people. You know, this is your platform. You know, this is here. It's no ego involved here at all. Leave your ego at the door. You know, as my sister would say, leave your ego at the door. It's no egos here. You know, we can do the back and forth. We can bat ideas back and forth without there being ego involved. You know, we're not going to agree on everything. This is true. Nobody's going to agree on everything. You know, I don't expect that. I don't fantasize about that. I'm never optimistic about that. You know, but my thing is that we can't let our disagreements tear us apart. That's the main thing. We can't let our disagreements tear us apart. We do have, you know, Dr. Misty's show tomorrow, which I'll be uploading and sharing in a little bit. Then we have Shadow Talk on Saturday. And you're welcome to continue the conversation, sister, because, like you said, it's definitely a topic that we always need to stay on top of, and we always need to bring to the forefront. And, you know, with that being said, we'll be having other shows. I've reached out to someone, and I've had them reach back out to me. And it might not be conducive, but I'm let you know right now that Brother Clayton has reached out to me and has expressed interest in still having a show on the network, and I'm willing to give him a shot. So we're in negotiations right now, but he's going to get back with me and choose a day that he would like to have his show on. So I'm just putting that out there, letting you hear it from me first before you hear it from anyone else.
If our black collectivism, if it's about black unity, if it's about black solution, it's about what we're trying to do. If it's about all of those things and it was left at the door, then you can't turn your brother away. If he's about helping your people, I'm sorry. You can't turn anybody away who's about building and bridging fences and us getting this, us stop talking and start doing. There's a lot of
right.
people talk. We need to put ourselves out there and do it. If he is about black collectivism, black empowerment, black unity, and he's doing, and he wants to bring solutions and not just problems, I don't see the problem. I don't see the problem at all. One man can't do it all. One sister can't do it
true.
All. One organization can't do it all.
Right. I think that our people need all the help that we can get from every direction. And my thing is, you know, if you have knowledge that you can drop on the people, then, you know, that's fine. If, like you said, you're about helping the people, then I don't have a problem with you, because that's what the whole idea behind this network. That word network at the end of Black Think Tank Radio Network, that's the most important word in the title of this station is network. And that's something we have to be about doing, networking different organizations, bringing different people in. That's my vision for this mentoring is we bring different groups together that wouldn't normally, you know, be in the same space. You know, and as we grow and we, you know, let people know that, hey, Open for Hope Radio is on Monday nights. You know, give them a listen. You know, call in. You know, parlay with those sisters and brothers over there. You know, find out what they're about. You know, see what they're about. You'll be proud of them because they're out here in these streets, you know, doing what others say that they claim to want to do, but, you know, they're not doing. So, you know, my thing is that definitely this is a drama-free place. We keep it drama-free. And I want people to know that, you know, don't be afraid to call. If we have disagreements or, you know, we don't get along or whatever over the air, you know, most of the time it can be worked out by communicating with each other. You know, but my thing is that, you know, we don't do the whole drama thing, and I'm not bashing this one over there because they're not doing the same thing that I'm doing. I'm not forcing anybody to think the way that I think. I'm not doing that. And I think that, you know, that's where a lot of division comes in at, when you try to force your ideologies on someone else. You know, my thing is everyone has their own journey, no matter what their journey may be. So my thing is, like my sister said, as long as you're not trying to be out here, you know, doing damage to the people or hurting the people, then, you know, we welcome your thoughts on this network. And on that, I'm going to yield.
You said it beautifully. We're about the community first, all Black people in the diaspora. We're about uniting. To unite, you have to talk. You have to communicate. You have to feel there's a space where you feel safe that you can express your thoughts. It's just that we don't take kindly to cooning. I'm sorry. We don't like cooning.
Nah, if you're out here cooning, you're in the wrong place. we are still about Black empowerment 24/7, 365.
So we ain't about Black and white supremacist faith. We ain't about coons. We ain't about anti-Black people. We ain't about Black people who think that they Black is special or Black is special. We ain't about colorism. We ain't about misogyny. We're not about playing the blame game. We ain't about none of that. We're about, we all tired. We want to move forward. We want to move forward together. Let's move forward together. Come, this is your safe space. Speak your mind. If you doing something in the community and you want to talk about it, you need to call. If you have an organization that you want to plug, do it. If you are an artist and you have some positives about your work and you want to put it out there, do it. This is a forum for the people. It's, like you said, network. It's a network, and a network doesn't work unless it has people in it.
No doubt. And we'll let that be the last words for tonight. And with that being said, hey, I appreciate everyone that's, you know, listening or sharing the shows, even if you don't make it in after the show. And, you know, we will definitely see you back here next Thursday on the Revolutionary Journal. Saturday, make sure you tune in with my sister on Shadow Talk. And tomorrow night, make sure you tune in to Dr. Misty's show. I'm sure she'll have a great topic going on. Then Monday, we have the Open for Hope Radio crew. They will be on. So definitely keep listening to the network. it's going to be good things to come. With that being said, power to the people. Power to the people.
A junkie walking through the twilight. I'm on my way home. I left 3 days ago, but no one seems to know I'm gone. Home is where the hatred is. Home is filled with pain, and it might not be such a bad idea if I never went home again.